Welcome to Tell Me More with Matt and Dan. I'm Matt.
I'm Dan.
And in this podcast, Dan tells me a fact, a little gibbet of information, and then I put it down either the shitter or the memory box.
You know what I was just thinking then?
Go on.
We've just had a running streak of all great facts.
Yes.
In this series so
yes,
far.
We have.
I'm worried it's going to come to an end today.
Let's see if it changes.
Are we ready for the fact of the day?
I'm so ready.
Dennis the Menace was created on the same day as Dennis the Menace.
Tell me more. Obviously, Dan. Okay, so here's a few things that were invented at the same time as they were invented. Televisions. Oh, yeah, that happened at the same time. A Terry's Chocolate Orange. That happened. What are you on about?
On the 12th of March, 1951, a comic book character was created called Dennis the Menace. And on the 12th of March, 1951... a character was created called Dennis the Menace, but they are two different characters.
Oh.
Coincidence or plagiarism?
This is so good. It's like, and on the other line, we have plagiarism law lawyer Dick Turpin. Okay, so spiky hair, like black haired boy.
Yep.
And little curly. Curly haired, brown haired boy? Oh no, blonde,
so,
blonde. Yes.
So there are two Dennises we're talking about here. There's a UK Dennis and a US Dennis.
Oh.
The UK Dennis the Menace was created for the Beano comic by a fella called David Law.
Mm.
He's, well, a little shit. But he's also described as an uncontrollable schoolboy who takes pride in causing chaos and mayhem to those around him due to his intolerance for rules and order.
Nice.
As well as his trademark messy haircut, knobbly knees.
What?
And a menacing scowl.
Oh.
He also wears a striped black and red jumper.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
The US Dennis the Menace was a comic strip that appeared in newspapers and was created, written, and illustrated by Hank Ketcham. This Dennis is a freckle-faced five-year-old boy with a troublesome but good-hearted personality and attempts to help those in need, combined with his youthful energy and enthusiasm. He was frequently led to trouble wherever he goes, usually at Mr. Wilson's expense. He wears red overalls and a black top with blue stripes.
Oh.
I'll be honest, though. One Dennis sounds more menacing than the other.
Is it the UK one?
Yeah, the other one's good-hearted and like, I mean, gets into accidents, essentially. The other one, he's a real prick. Like, I was looking into it and I wanted to know what the most menacing thing either one had done.
One of them's like, oh, I put tadpoles in my grandma's coffee. And the other one's like, yeah, remember that bloke Franz Ferdinand? That one, me.
Yeah, one Dennis put some tadpoles in a cup. The other one started the Great War.
Hey, I put some man on a cross.
So I was trying to
find... go on.
So for the US one, I tried finding specifics, but couldn't come across anything definite. Whereas UK Dennis has been a bloody rascal.
Oh, yeah.
He's pea shooting, whoopee cushioning. He was apparently seen as a bully.
No.
And apparently in the early 2000s was accused of hate crimes towards the homosexual community.
Oh, God. And he stole little Madeleine McCann.
Pretty menacing, isn't it?
Oh, poor old Dennis. What's he got himself in for? Oh, Dennis.
Some other differences between the two Dennises are their dogs. So the US Dennis has a dog called Ruff, who has barely any information about him online. But the wiki says, and only this, Ruff is the pet dog of Dennis Mitchell and the deuteragonist of Dennis the Menace.
That's it?
That's it.
Oh, Nasha. Get into Nasha. I love him. This goes into some fucking lore on Nasha in the UK. Nasha was found in a skip. His mother was a tape recording of Coronation Street, and his dad was a pit bull.
Nasha is an Abyssinian wire-haired tripe hound. That breed doesn't actually exist, but at least they said something.
Yeah, yeah.
They apparently designed him by drawing Dennis the Menace's hair and putting a leg on each corner and two eyeballs.
Do you remember what he sounds like?
Yes, yes. Nasha's yes.
He's so good.
And then that also
cut that out. Cut that out. I'm not having... Because I went back and I heard myself go, uh-oh, on an episode. I was like...
It did make me realise, though, that Ruff does look a bit like Dennis the Menace. They should have said that in there as well.
Yeah.
So there are tons of sources talking about the two Dennises. Like, yeah. It's because it's made on the same day.
It's cooked.
The Smithsonian Museum has an article about it and said on the topic of the dogs, Nasha would have eaten American Dennis's sweet dog Ruff in 2 seconds flat. Because that was the thing. Nasha bit everyone.
Oh, true, yeah.
It was known as a biter.
Well, it just shows Americans and the UK and how different they are. It's like, oh, I'm a hard American. And then the UK, it's like, I'm going to fucking blind you.
Well, there's more or less menace and more fucking psychopathic. Interestingly, named after the same song. So the song is called Dennis the Menace from Venice.
By
and,
who?
Harry Roy and his Mayfair Hotel Orchestra.
I've got a clip I can play you if you want.
Perfect.
Pingu, Pingu.
In faraway Venice, there lives a young man who drives every pretty girl crazy. He's got more technique than the best movie chic, but believe me, this fellow's not lazy. At 9 in the evening, he starts with a blonde. By 10, he has got the brunette. At midnight, you'll see him with some ginger girl. He teaches them all how to pet. Why, it's Dennis the Menace from Venice. A gay gondolier with gold rings in his ear. He will sing you a song as he pushes along his gondola. Dennis the Menace from Venice.
It's named after a fella who's a gondolier. And a person. So that's a person who drives gondolas.
Oh, that's just, I didn't know that. Tell me more, Dan. Yeah. A gondolier, you heard it here, folks. A gondolier is someone who drives gondolas.
He's a gondolier and has sex with people in his gondola. Why are they named not just one, but two children show characters and like comic book children characters after two children after him.
There we go, Dan. You got that right. Jesus Christ.
So were they plagiarized? They were made on the same day, named after the same guy, and they both have stripy tops. What do you think?
It makes me think.
No, and by all accounts, neither creator knew or had any way of knowing that there was an equivalent comic being developed an ocean away.
Fuck you.
No lawsuits were filed. Both comics were created well before the internet, so there was no proof of the creators ever seeing each other's work. But the US Dennis was based on the creator's son, called Dennis. But the UK Dennis is based off one of the family friend's son, who apparently was a little brat. Mm. He didn't get told until he was an adult.
That he was a brat.
That, yeah. And he like was reading the Dennis the Menace comics and stuff. The dad just hated him so much that he was like, I'm just going to write a fucking character. He's the worst character ever.
Jesus.
But these are some coincidences, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you want to hear some other coincidences?
Would you like to hear some coincidences, Matt?
Well, it's a big coincidence, isn't it? Dennis the Menace and Dennis the Menace.
Go on, throw some coincidences at me.
It's about the Mongolians invading Japan.
Okay.
In November 1274, 23,000 men and 700 to 800 ships came to invade Japan, which was very weak at the time, and was no way ready for battle.
Excuse me, have you played Ghost of Tsushima?
When was that?
What
year was that based?
Same time.
1274 specifically.
Mm-hmm. They landed in Tsushima and all the samurai were there. Well, samurai weren't actually a thing.
So that might just be the battle they were in before.
True. Okay.
When they arrived in Hakata Bay, a typhoon took out all the ships.
Oh.
No worries. They came back again in 1281. This time, with 4,000 ships, did a two-pronged invasion around China and Korea.
Nice.
And this was the best that the Mongolian dynasty could do at the time. They entered by the same bay, and the fleet was destroyed by another typhoon.
Oh.
According to Japanese sources, a typhoon like that hit the Mongols during the second invasion only occurs once every 100 or so years. And in summer, but they were both invading in winter. So there was two storms in 7 years, both when the Mongolians invaded, and in the exact spot each time when it should happen every 100 years or so.
God loves the Japanese.
Eclipses, they're massive coincidences.
Okay.
Tremendous coincidences I've written down here. Don't know why I've started using the word that. Tremendous.
Oh, tremendous. Ow.
You hit your tooth.
Again.
The moon seems to cover up the sun during an eclipse pretty much perfectly. The reason that is...
Wait. The moon seems to cover up the sun. I love how you word these things. So an eclipse, eh? The moon covers up the sun. Or it seems to.
The reason is... The sun and the moon are a pair almost identical size, and that's because the diameter of the moon is 400 times smaller than the sun, but the sun is exactly 400 times further away than the moon is.
So good.
So about 1,000 years ago, eclipses looked different, and in another 1,000 years, eclipses will be really hard to see because the moon is slowly traveling away from the Earth. That's what I mean when it comes to a coincidence, that it's exactly 400 times away, but 400 times the size, which makes it exactly the same size to us.
Dan.
Last one.
Dan.
Yeah.
What are we going to do when the moon goes? What are we going to do when the moon goes?
I have to say it.
Dan. Yeah. What are we going to do when David Attenborough dies?
Do you want to hear one more to cheer you up?
Yeah.
You'll like this one. So it's about space as well.
Space.
So when Galileo found Saturn, he sent a bunch of jumbled letters to his friends to reorder and declare that he found Saturn. Matt's probably crying now.
What are we going to do when Saturn dies?
See if you can guess what this says.
She's a journalist, ladies and gentlemen.
See if you can guess what this says.
Okay.
I'm texting it to you now.
Oh.
This is what the message they received was.
1 second, just reaching my pocket. Smash, Mr. Mail, me potele, me bune, nigu,
taurus. That's actually pretty good. So, rearranged, it's meant to say Altissimum Planetam Targinium Observi.
Why is it mixed up?
Because it's a secret message.
Oh.
To his science friends. That is Latin for I've observed the highest planet is threefold. They said the highest planet because they thought the Earth was flat and it was like the furthest away, so it's the highest.
They thought the Earth was flat. Daniel, I don't know if you've watched the news, but the Earth is flat.
Flat Earth!
So when German astronomer Johann Kepler received this, he unjumbled it wrong and he thought it said,
my wife is a smelly bitch.
However, so rude. Salve, un bestinum gementam Martia Proles, which is translated to be greeted, double knob, children of Mars.
Wait. Be greeted, double knob, children of Mars.
And he thought it meant that Galileo found two Martian moons, but he was wrong.
Be greeted, double knob, children of Mars.
Yes, he thought he said Mars has two moons, but he was wrong.
Yeah.
But he wasn't. Because then it was found out later that Mars does have two moons, Phobos and Deimos.
Two of the biggest knobs in the solar system, children of Mars. Be greeted, double knob, children of Mars. It's so funny saying it. Go on.
Do you want to hear some more Dennis and Menace facts?
Oh, that's what we were talking about.
UK Dennis the Menace's motto is totally blam.
That's mine now on. Totally blam.
And in a Q&A, that he had.
With Dennis the Menace?
Yeah. He said that if he had insomnia, he would do the same as he feels in his normal life, having fun.
Oh.
And apparently he's an optimist and said that optimism is blam.
We can take anything from today's. Just before I ask you the final question, just remember, optimism is blam. Totally blam.
Totally blam. Okay.
So, Matt.
Yeah?
Are you glad I told you more?
Yeah. You were sneaky with that one, Dan. You were very sneaky. It's... You'll do the fact. I'll be like, yeah, okay, interesting. And then you'll say... Do you want information about nothing to do with what we spoke about? I'm like, yes, of course, Dan. And so you've brought into my life totally blam and be greeted, double knob, children of man. So funny.
And you know what?
What?
The memory box is totally blam.
It's totally blam. So you have been listening to this totally blam episode of Tell Me More with Matt and Dan. Thank you so much for listening. And if you have any facts that you want to send to us, you can send them to this totally blam Instagram. tellmemore.pod.au. That's tellmemore.pod.au. I've been Matt.
I've been Dan.
And this has been totally blam.
Bye-bye.